Since late 2009, the Eurozone has been in a state of economic crisis. Let's take an introductory look at what this crisis looks like, and it turns out the crisis actually has three distinct yet interrelated sides. The first side of the Eurozone crisis is a banking crisis. There are, for instance, insolvent banks in Ireland and in Spain, among other parts of the Eurozone. These banks lent out too much money, often against real estate. There were real estate bubbles in some of these countries, including Ireland and Spain. The value of the real estate fell, homeowners could not always pay back their loans, and often the banks ended up insolvent. They either have been insolvent or they remain insolvent to this day. When it comes to Ireland and Spain in particular, you can think of the crash of the real estate bubble and the resulting insolvency of the banks as leading the way and driving those countries toward a deeper economic crisis. There is also a banking crisis in Greece, but that's a somewhat different story than Ireland and Spain. In the case of Greece, there was first a fiscal crisis resulting from the government spending too much money and borrowing too much money. The economy of Greece then collapsed. It was then the case that as a result, Greek banks became insolvent, but that's a very different causal ordering of the story than what we have seen in Ireland and in Spain. Until the collapse, a lot of Greek banking practices actually had been fairly conservative. A very important point here is that when a nation has insolvent banks, belonging to the Eurozone makes that problem much worse. And you can think of this in terms of a bank run. Imagine, for instance, that you're a depositor and you're holding euros in a Greek bank or a Spanish bank, and you wonder if that bank is sound, and furthermore, you wonder if the government is sound enough to bail out the bank. You're faced with a choice. Should you leave your euros in the Greek bank, or should you move them, say, to a German bank? Obviously, the German bank is safer. So there is, over time, what is called a silent run on Greek banks. That is, there is capital flight. People pull their money out of Greek banks, send it to German banks or elsewhere. This, of course, makes the Greek economy worse. And when you have a common currency zone, it becomes much easier to hold that currency without using a domestic banking system. And so this problem of insolvent banks and bank runs has become much worse in the Eurozone than in other financial crises around the world. A second aspect of the Eurozone problems is capital and trade imbalances. To put the point simply, Germany is exporting a great deal more than it is importing, so capital flows into Germany. A country like Spain or Greece is in the opposite position. They are importing more than they are exporting, so capital is flowing out of the country, and furthermore, to finance those imports, Greece, Spain, and some of the other periphery countries, they need to borrow a fair amount of money. Over time, if the periphery countries are importing more than they are exporting, their debts will rise. Ideally, you would like those countries to become more productive at exporting, but that's not always easy, and thus you have these capital and trade imbalances. There has also been a problem of volatility associated with capital flows. In the previous decade, a lot of money flowed into the periphery. Borrowing rates were quite low, even for countries such as Greece, and the capital inflow brought rising standards of living and, in general, good times. However, in the last few years, it's been understood that a lot of countries in the periphery are actually quite risky. Money has flowed back out of the periphery and to Northern Europe, and there's been a kind of whiplash effect where the capital inflow was followed by a capital outflow, and now those economies in the periphery are somewhat starved for investment, and they're borrowing at high rates rather than low rates. Keep in mind that these problems also are made worse by belonging to a common currency area. For instance, imagine that Germany and Spain were not both part of the Eurozone, but they had some kind of flexible exchange rate. If the demand for German products were then systematically higher than the demand for Spanish products, well, the German currency would go up in value, the Spanish currency would go down in value, and that would give us a pretty rapid way of getting back to equilibrium, but when you're part of a common currency zone, that's not so easy to accomplish. We talk about this issue in more detail in our video unit on optimum currency areas. The third aspect of the Eurozone economic crisis is a fiscal crisis, namely that some governments in the Eurozone have run up bills which they now need to pay off. Quite simply, they have spent more money than they have been taking in terms of tax revenue. They may have dysfunctional tax collection systems, such as in Greece and Italy, or simply some irresponsible patterns of spending behavior at the level of their governments. Again, this problem takes somewhat different forms in different nations. In the case of Greece, the bad spending behavior was the upfront problem which led to an economic crisis. In Spain, it was different. Before the euro crisis came, Spain actually had something close to a balanced budget. Its fiscal affairs were considered to be in order. The problem was that the Spanish economy collapsed so much and revenue collection collapsed so much that Spain then ended up with a fiscal problem as a result of over-indebtedness and the collapse of its real estate bubble and then some banking problems. Keep in mind that these fiscal problems tend to be embedded in a long-term growth crisis for some of the Eurozone nations. For instance, if we look at the Italian economy, it has been stagnant for some time. For instance, 12 years ago, Italy had higher per capita GDP than it has today. There just hasn't been that much growth there in some time. If we look at the Spanish economy, over the previous decade, there was rapid growth, but it seems in retrospect, a lot of that growth was driven by the real estate bubble. Spanish productivity in a lot of sectors actually has been pretty flat for almost 20 years. That's a sign of an underlying structural economic problem in Spain. The Greek economy is considered very much overregulated and excessively corrupt. If you look at the World Bank's Doing Business Index, well, in 2012, Greece ranks at only number 100. That's simply not a very good performance. In sum, it's worth stressing that all of these problems interact and make each other worse. But if you hear about the Eurozone problem, that's missing the point. It's several distinct and interrelated problems which require a number of different solutions.